You found us. Welcome to the Holminster Podcast, a church in the centre of Hull. Your place to worship, enjoy, explore and to belong. If you'd like more information in how you can get involved, visit our website at www.hullminster.org.
Now, you probably often heard it said, actions speak louder than words. Do you think that's true? Do actions speak louder than words? Well, if we want further evidence about that, we need look no further than in our Bible, in the book of James, a very popular verse, chapter 1 of James, verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." Make actions speak louder than words. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. So that our actions speak louder than the words. We're deceiving ourselves if we think that hearing the word is enough for me just to stand here and speak the word to you, for you to hear that word. And if we think that's enough, all of us, well, we're deceiving ourselves. We must do what we hear, or we risk being self-deceived. If we just take any everyday example, for instance, those studying, say doctors study for many, many years, and a lot of that is theory, I think 7 years. And during that time, they may know meticulously how to carry out an operation. Every little detail, everything that's required. But if you don't put that knowledge into action, then there's no benefit in gaining the knowledge at all. Unless you act on that knowledge, you've gained nothing. And that's exactly the same in God's word. So likewise, you can be a talker of the word. You can be very fluent in what you say about the gospel message, but it's the doer of the word that walks with God. That's exactly what our Bible tells us today. If we love Jesus, we will obey his teaching. Not just listen to it, but obey it. And that's easier said than done quite often. If we obey his teaching, then we must go out and do the things that he instructed his disciples to do, and us today, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to pray with one another, and to love our neighbour. That instruction to love our neighbour isn't just a New Testament verse. If we go right back to the beginning of the Bible in Leviticus chapter 19, the Lord says, "Forget about the wrong things people do to you. Don't try to get even. Love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord." How important is that? Right back at the very beginning of our scriptures. And then we can move to the very famous verse in Matthew, where it says, Matthew 25, "The king will answer them, 'I can guarantee this truth. Whatever you did for one of my brothers or sisters, no matter how important they seemed, you did it for me.'" Whatever you did for my brothers or sisters, you did it for me. Now, you may have noticed when we have the blessing at the end of our services, it goes like this: "The blessing of God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit be with you, those you love, this day and always." Now, that's something that I have struggled with over and over again. Because if you don't put on the end and those you struggle to love, then I think we're not challenged. And Jesus' words are challenging to us. It's so easy to love those that we like and love. But it's really not easy to like or love those that have hurt us. We love our close families. We love our friends usually. Even our animals. But if when we love, we are following that commandment of Jesus, love your neighbour as yourself, we have to love our neighbour no matter who they are. That is really challenging. Now, going back, I don't like to keep going on about it, but going back to a couple of years ago when I was carjacked outside of the church one Sunday morning, I remember saying a few days later when I was leading a service, and I had been inundated with cards and flowers, with prayers, acts of love. And I remember saying that I probably had received in those 3 days more love than Jay, the lad who, one of the lads who was the one that actually did the carjacking. I probably had received more love than he had in the whole of his life. And I'll tell you something, it's really hard to love Jay. We have had good times with him. He has been in church. He spent a lot of time in church. He spent 6 months in church with us. But he's back in prison again now. And it breaks my heart. But that's Jay. He hasn't learnt the lesson yet. But I have no regrets for going down that road of restorative justice. Because doing that, I was fulfilling to love my neighbour. And he was my neighbour. He is my neighbour. And I promised him, I stood up in court and promised him, I would pray for him every single day of my life. And I do that. I remember Jay in my prayers. So yes, it's frustrating and it's hard to love Jay. But David Patterson, our verger, and myself will be going to visit him again in prison. And no doubt when he comes out of prison, the first place he will come to, which always happens, is straight into church. Frustrating. But this is the love I believe Jesus is talking about. To love those that we struggle to love. And if we don't do that, we're not going to change those lives. It's only through love that Jay's life will be changed. And there are others amongst us whose lives have really been changed because of the love and generosity of one person or several people. And it says in our reading, if we do this, if we follow Jesus' word, then the Father will be with us and make us his, because God loves us unconditionally, and he loves Jay unconditionally, and all those others that are struggling. And that's how we should love others. Try and love in the way that God loves us. If we speak the words of love, but there is no substance to it, we are not obeying God's teaching. Now, throughout the farewell discourse, which is where these verses in John's Gospel come from, Jesus is preparing his disciples for what's to come. Jesus makes it clear that followers love him by serving others. Jesus does not recognize that we can only love him either by word or by doing. There's no distinction to Jesus. That's all one. It says in John, in one of our verses, 23, those who love me will keep my word. And that's not only in speaking the word, but doing what the word says. Love for Jesus simply is love in action. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. He promises that when he does leave them, they will receive the Holy Spirit, who will remind them of his words. And so we are reminded too by the Holy Spirit of the words of Jesus. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit to feed us. And what a great offer for us to receive the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will go on teaching us till the very end of our lives. That is such a wonderful gift to have. Reminding us of Jesus' words and unwrapping their meaning and significance in all our changing circumstances. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand what Jesus is saying to us. And the sign of his work in us will be peace. Our hearts will be untroubled, unafraid. The Holy Spirit helps us with that. A peace of a kind that the world can never give. A peace that will assure us of his presence and his support, gladdening us with the knowledge that the Jesus we know and love is indeed one with the Father. If we hold fast to Jesus and refuse to settle for a second best compromised discipleship, we will find that his peace comes to us, and it comes as a gift, freely given. Jesus' heart was like still, calm water that's both transparent and reflecting. He brings us to understand the wonder of God and to recognize God's image in ourselves. We are all made in the image of God. He cautions us against letting our hearts be troubled, lest we and others lose sight of where God is to be found. Always go back when we're troubled to the Holy Spirit and the peace of God. So, summing up, let us love those that we struggle to love. Let us love the Jays of this world. Because we are the fortunate ones, we can leave our troubles before Jesus, and we can hear him say to us, "Peace I leave with you." Amen.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed listening to one of our sermons. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, then follow us on social media or visit our website, www.holminster.org.